When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. In case you needed some reminders as to how backwards our country is right now, on one hand, you have all of the protesters all over college campuses throughout the country, here in New York City being one of the main hubs where all that is going on. We saw overnight UCLA's campus, hugely violent protests taking place, pitting several different protest groups against each other. Where the LAPD had to be called in the masses. You see them spewing hateful rhetoric on a daily basis, not allowing Jewish students onto their campuses. You see them disrupting everyday lives. You see them protesting very violently, claiming that they have the right to be doing this. The government claims that these student groups have the right to peacefully protest, but we all realize there's nothing peaceful about these protests. Yet, this slides by, right? Barely anything done about it until it gets to the point where people, adults in the situation who have done nothing up to this point, actually start to get scared. Then they begin to call in reinforcements, kind of like Columbia University did with the NYPD trying to clear out all of the protesters who had broken into Hamilton Hall. Also to find that many of these protesters weren't even students. They were just agitators that were from off campus, adults who have no business being on Columbia's campus in the first place. And then they have to now ask these cops to be on campus through about May 17th, which is when commencement occurs, in order to hopefully keep things in a bit of order up until that point. Okay, clearly things have gotten out of control. But for a while, we felt like there was going to be no end to these protests. And honestly, it depends where you look. Who knows when the end is going to come on different university campuses around the country. But then you look at another case in our country. Recently, a couple of weeks ago in mid-April, there was a track and field competition taking place on a middle school level in West Virginia. There was the shot put competition in which there was a trans athlete competing. Now, there was a law that had already passed in West Virginia that bars trans athletes from competing in women's sports, girls' sports. But in this particular case, they said that this trans athlete was allowed to compete because they had started taking puberty blockers and hormone therapy when they were much younger. So at this point, they claimed that this student operated essentially like a female athlete would, and therefore they were allowed to compete. Well, the real girls who were competing in this competition, they felt slighted by this. They felt uncomfortable by this. So what did they do? They staged a step out. That means a very peaceful protest in which they just decided they did not want to compete against this trans athlete. Very stark contrast, obviously, to what's going on our college campuses, to the peaceful protest that these girls staged a couple of weeks ago. Well, meanwhile, when nothing's happening to these protesters on college campuses, these girls, five of these girls who staged this step out, they have now been banned from competing in their next track and field meet. They're not able to compete because it was found that by stepping out, they are guilty of forfeiting competition. I'm not really exactly sure what that means or why it's so significant in terms of being banned. But fact is it's very clear why these girls staged a step out. It wasn't like they were trying to be obstinate or they were trying to cause a scene. It was very peaceful. And in fact, you have that First Amendment right? You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. And they were unable to exercise their First Amendment rights when meanwhile, again, I'm going to keep repeating it, these agitators on college campuses are doing so in the worst of ways, the most hateful of ways, and they're getting away with it. So, I mean, it just kind of shows where our country's at right now, right? if you feel uncomfortable competing against a biological boy and you peacefully protest, that's an issue. But if you decide that you hate Jews and that you hate America and you want to, you know, promote Palestine and raise the Palestinian flag instead of the American flag and all of that and disrupt literally all of people's day-to-day lives because this is how you decide that things should operate, that's completely fine under this administration. Clearly, at this point, nothing is really being done. So what's happening with the girls? I feel for them. I feel for the position that they've been put in. At this point, the West Virginia State Attorney General has teamed up with state attorney generals from several other states, as well as Riley Gaines. And they are asking the Supreme Court to once again weigh in on this issue. This is something that shouldn't be happening in the first place, especially with the rewrite of Title IX that Joe Biden just released last week, which we saw essentially history being erased. Now, trans athletes have the right to compete in women's sports. Biological men have the right to all of the spaces that were supposed to be safe spaces for women. And now, of course, you have to use the preferred pronouns of trans people. Otherwise, you could be found guilty of sexual harassment. I mean, there's just so many problems with the rewrite of Title IX. Everybody knows this. Hopefully something can come about with the West Virginia Attorney General once again stepping in, Riley Gaines, several other state attorney generals, because this can't continue to go on. And I think it's just really worth noting the stark contrast in which people are protesting in this country and what is allowed and what's not and on what basis. I think it's clear our administration does not care about the well-being of women. I think it's clear they don't care about the well-being of our actual country. And all of this can be proven with the events that we have seen transpire in the last couple of weeks. So on that note, let's go ahead and bring in my favorite guest. He's here every single Wednesday. He is the host of Don't At Me, and his name is Dan Dockage. So there he is. Hello, sir.
Hey, how about you? How about you in the octagon the other day? How stunning. Congratulations. I was asked by my wife, you know, you are the MMA announcer. You are all things. Are you skilled in that particular form of self-defense, boxing competition? Are you an MMA participant in your workouts or anything like that?
So I currently do not train in any forms of MMA. I am a Pilates yoga girl these days, Dan. But when I was in college, I did train in Muay Thai for a summer, and only a summer. But I was really into it, and I would train every single day. And my coach was super intense. And I remember him telling me, he was like, Charlie, please, because this is when I was entering into my junior year of college at this point. He's like, please, he knew I wanted to be a broadcaster. He's like, please promise me you will never actually fight, because what happens to people who fight, their faces get messed up, and that could probably be a huge detriment to someone that wants to be on TV for a living. Not to mention, you get your nose bashed in. That can affect your sinuses, can affect the way you speak, your jaw gets broken, you can't speak at all. So I made that promise to him. And, you know, as much as I thought I could have had a real professional, like, successful career in the fighting world, instead I'm sitting here this morning here talking with you and just making announcements inside of the Octagon, which I also was very thankful to have the opportunity to do on top of my normal reporting responsibilities, but definitely was not expecting. I was not expecting the reception that I got afterwards. I really thought it was going to be like a fleeting moment, something cool to put in my back pocket, but no, everything blew up. So I feel very inspired. I'm appreciative. There's that word that I can't think of this morning. I'm very appreciative of all the praise.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So Dan, what do you think about the difference between the different types of protests that are going on in their country and how they're being addressed and how the protesters are being punished versus how others are not being punished and how their protests are looking a whole lot different than just simply stepping out of a shop book competition.
Yeah, you were mentioning the young ladies in West Virginia. I mean, how do you punish them? I mean, how do you possibly do that? You know my stance, the transgender athletes, just go play with the boys. And, you know, it's inclusive. Go do that. Why does everybody have to participate against young girls or women? Why? I don't understand that. In terms of the student protesters, you know, I get a kick out of some of the videos of it. Like, you know, one of the protesters demanded that the university feed them. I saw today one of the protesters is like, well, in Columbia, why are you holding us here? We have exams. Well, you just came in and disrupted an entire university. Like, I blame the parents. I do. And I blame when there's guys involved. I've probably told you this, Charlie, but apartheid was a big deal when I was in college and a hot girl said, hey, Dan, we're going to go protest apartheid at Dunn Meadow. I said, I'm in. Let's go. What's apartheid? I didn't know. I was playing basketball. The hell do I know? But hot girl was doing it and I was going to hang. But the thing about it is this. Nobody should be discriminated against. Nobody. Nobody. And whoever does that, particularly not allowing a Jewish student to step on campus like we saw at UCLA, should be arrested. Who are you to say who can and cannot step on campus? Who are you to say what I can or cannot do on my own campus? And those folks that are restricting others, it should be very easy. You should swoop in, take those people, throw their ass in jail. I'm all for peaceful protest. I got no problem. It's part of the college experience. You're experimenting. You're trying to figure it out. But when you're disrupting an entire school, when you're disrupting Columbia, when you're taking over buildings at Harvard, when you're putting up a different flag than the American flag at the John Harvard statue, which, by the way, Charlie, if you ever go to Harvard, don't touch John Harvard's shoes. There's a big statue to John Harvard where they took the American flag was over him. They took the American flag down. They put the Palestinian flag up, which is jackassery to me. But don't ever touch Harvard's shoes, because one of the things freshmen are supposed to do is pee on John Harvard's shoes. And I have a former Harvard student, sleeping upstairs, and she did that. I guess I'm not supposed to say because my wife is waving it off, but that's what you're supposed to do. But where are the parents in this? Hey, Charlie, think about this. So I'm at Columbia. I'm a junior, and I decide I'm going to go take over a building. There's a difference between Dunn Meadow and taking over a building. I get lugged away. Yes. I get suspended. I get expelled from school. And if I'm a dad, I'm like, whoa, that's $70,000 a year. That's $140,000 plus all the other stuff. I'm $200,000 into this, and because freaking some social media idiots told you something, you went and took over a building, and now you're not going to get a degree? That would piss me off to no end as a father. That's the reality. Like, that is the reality of this shit. Where the hell are the parents telling their kids, look, dumbass, I've paid $70,000. I don't give a damn if you protest. But get your ass peacefully. You're not taking over a building. You're not disrupting a school. You're not doing something that's involving the cops and tear gas. I'd be pissed. I'm telling you. And you know what? I hope Columbia does the right thing, gives these kids the boot. I hope they kick them out. They should. You can't do that. You can't take over a building, take down the American flag, get their ass off campus. They're a danger to other students. If it is a protected place, if it is a safe space, like we say universities supposedly are, those people made that campus absolutely unsafe. Get their ass off campus if they're not in jail.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Well, I would never be in this position, so I wouldn't even put myself in it where my parents would have to react. But for these kids, I do wonder, though, because they're so unhinged, do you think that there are some parents of these students out there who are seeing the images of their children participating and they're like, you know what? Good for them.
Yeah. I'm sure there are some. I'm sure there are some. I bet you there's three types. One, there's a small bit that are good for them. The other group is probably a much bigger group that says, wait a second, I didn't understand this was going to this level. You know what I mean? Like this level, okay, you're protesting, okay. It's idiocy. I don't even know how you can defend what happened with Hamas. I don't understand it. I've seen the videos. I have Jewish nieces, nephews, sister-in-law. I'll never understand it. But if you are an open-minded, I guess that's the word, I don't know the right word, parent, and you're like, wait, whoa, I didn't know you were going to go to this level. And then I'm sure there are parents that are strictly just straight out pissed off. And then I'm sure there's parents that were non-existent and weren't in kids' life. It's sad. It's ridiculous. It's sad. And that thing in UCLA where, no, we're not going to let a Jewish student enter campus? Shut up. Who the hell are you to say that? What the hell? No. And I don't understand weakness in leadership. And I think we've seen weakness in leadership all across our country with chancellors and vice presidents and presidents of universities.
Yeah, and you know what? I was noticing, because yesterday I was walking by NYU's campus on the way back home, and they have, it's called the New School. And I, to be honest, I don't know what the New School is for, but they have all different types of signs hanging up the windows. I mean, pro-Palestine signs, promoting the rights of Gaza, anti-Semitic statements. All of this is hanging up in the windows. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, how does the university allow these? You know, it's one thing, I guess, with students. You can't really control, like, if a student wants to come and, like, scream his face off in front of the building. But as a university, if someone puts up signs or posters, those can easily be taken down, and they're just doing nothing to even attempt to make a difference here.
Well,
so it's very strange. And then what were you going to say?
Well, can you imagine if they put up anti-African American signs, or they put pro-KKK signs up? I mean, those things would be down in a second. And this is what I'm talking, you know, about leadership. I've always said this. I was on a college campus for however many years as a college coach, and I started seeing where administrators and everybody involved with administration and leadership in college campus is saying, we want to be a nurturing campus. We want to be a safe space. And I thought to myself, that's crap. That's total crap. None of these people, why promote that? So now you got an opportunity when students, not the ones protesting, when a small minority of students are protesting and putting anti-Semitic messages when there's Jewish kids on campus. Even if there's not Jewish kids on campus, what the hell are you doing with anti-Semitic messages? You're not a safe space. You've never been a safe space. You're a place that has an ideology, regardless, whatever that ideology is, you support that ideology, and if others get hurt because of it, then fine. And that's what we're seeing. People have this idiotic ideology about supporting Hamas and being anti-Semitic, and this idiotic ideology is putting Jewish kids at risk, and it's putting all kids at risk, frankly, because who the hell knows what some crazy person's going to do in this day and age who isn't associated. As you mentioned earlier in your open, you know, there's a lot of people here that aren't even associated with the university. They're just paid protesters. They come in because somebody says, hey, we're protesting here, let's go. Well, you don't know if one of these crazy people is going to whip out a gun, start shooting up a dorm. You have no idea what they're going to do when you just let any idiot on your campus to protest. So they're not keeping people safe. Administrations all across the country have been full of shit, excuse my language, about this whole we're a safe space, blah, 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 blah. I knew it was crap then, and it's played out to be crap now.
Yeah, and especially like you just, you know, we've been seeing videos of protesters putting up the Palestinian flag, taking down the American flag and putting up the, I mean, this is the United States of America. Like, we fly the American flag, like the Palestinian flag. Listen, whatever you want to support, whatever you want to protest, that's your business. But the American flag shouldn't be cast aside for these protesters to then be as insane as they are. And you've seen this happening on a lot of different campuses. Right here, what we're watching is actually the reversal, because the protesters at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, they decided to fly the Palestinian flag. And the chancellor was like, no way that's happening. Not on my watch. And he actually demanded the Palestinian flag come down, and he hung up the American flag, which is awesome to see some people taking some action. Not very many. It is very few and far between where you've seen people step in and break up these disgusting protests. But kudos to the chancellor of Chapel Hill. His name is Lee Roberts. And also just kudos to the people that are calling out all of this stuff for what it is. Sean Strickland being one of them, Dan. Sean Strickland, he is totally fed up with what's going on in this country. He had a post that he put up, and he said, I'm sick of foreign flags being seen in America. I don't get it. You left your corrupt country to come to the USA, and yet you still rep what you fled. And it's so true, Dan. There are so many foreign exchange students here, or not even necessarily, you know, foreign exchange students, just foreign students here who are in search of a better education, a better life for a few years. Maybe they intend on going back to their country. Maybe they intend on staying here. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you come here and disrespect the flag and disrespect the country, you should probably be kicked out immediately.
Well, I'm not mad about that. But here's the deal. I mean, many people, and myself included, believe this is an attack on America. I mean, why are we taking down the United States flag? This is an attack on America. Half the 90% of the people that are protesting have no idea, including myself. I'm not a historian on what's going on in the Gaza Strip. I know what I saw on October 7th, and it pissed me off, if you want to know the truth, and it pisses me off to see people support that. But you know, you can make the argument this is a bigger deal. This is an attack, you know, on America to try to get us to be more socialist, and it's idiotic. Look, I like what they did at North Carolina. The frat boys surrounded the flag. They got the American flag up there, which is fantastic. There's a great picture, a bunch of dudes putting the flag up, and of course some of the little frat boys are taking pictures and smile. You know, it's the way the modern world works.
Yeah.
But no, to your point, to hell with you. If you're going to be somebody that takes down the flag, I hope you're exposed, and I hope nobody hires you. Let's put it that way. I don't know if anybody's going to be deported for it, but I hope, hey, wait a second, you went to Columbia. I got a picture of you here taking down the American flag. Get your ass out of my office. I'm not hiring you to do jack squat. I certainly wouldn't, because you can't trust people. But the idea of taking down the American flag looks to me like a bigger issue than just what's going on over in the Middle East. It looks like it's an attack on America, and we cannot have that. We absolutely must not have that. And to your point, you know what? Well, how about this? No good deed goes unpunished is one of my mottos in life. So the United States basically gives you the opportunity to do anything you want, whatever you want, but that ain't enough. So now people that have been here are so spoiled that we take it for granted. And to your point, people that aren't from here obviously have a little more respect for the freedoms that are here relative to where they came from. I mean, why do you think 8 bazillion people are rushing the border every freaking day? Why? Because they want to get the hell out of other countries. They don't want to be in Venezuela. They don't want to be in China. They don't want to be in Mexico. They want to be in America, but we don't respect it. It's unbelievable. We just don't respect it, and I think it's crap.
Now, before we wrap up this topic, Dan, I saw some awesome video yesterday. Because, like I said, there are very few instances, unfortunately, at this point. We've seen them on some college campuses where the police are doing their jobs. They're dragging those protesters out of there. They don't give two Fs about the perception of them. They are looking for law and order, which is what they were hired to do in the first place. And one instance, thank goodness, was on Indiana University's campus. The police there are actually doing their jobs, dragging those stupid protesters out, ripping down their tents. It's just, this is what we need to see more of. And I'm happy that we're seeing it. What is this kid like, crawling like a dog? We're seeing it on IU's campus, Dan.
Yeah, and people want to fire the president. The faculty wants to fire the president of Indiana University for doing that, for bringing in the police. They had sniper on the roof. Look, and here's what I don't understand. Are people this blind? Do we not understand that in 2024, everything is in play? I mean, how many different places have been shot up? So I'm the president of Indiana University. I've got a somewhat but not really peaceful demonstration going on. I have to prepare for everything. But people at Indiana University, the faculty, the liberal, crazy people that I got so tired of living among when I lived there for 17 years, they want to fire this president. In truth and in all honesty, they actually wanted to fire her before this. She got a no-confidence vote from her faculty going back a few months. But now it's even accelerated because she cleaned this up, because she understood that you've got to be prepared for every freaking thing, including crazy people with guns. Again, how many times have we seen it, Charlie? Thoughts and prayers to this, thoughts and prayers to that. Hell, the other day in Charlotte, we saw three police officers murdered in a shootout. Guy I work with just had a drive-by where his couch, he was showing me bullet holes going through his windows, and he doesn't live, you know, he doesn't live in the hood. I mean, you got to be prepared for everything. The president of Indiana was, and now these idiot liberals at Indiana want her gone, even more so because of this. It's madness to me. It's not only the students, it's the professors on these campus. It's actually the crazy-ass liberal people that live among this campus. And if you've lived in Indiana, in Bloomington, as an adult, you see them every day, and they're complete maniacs.
I think she should get a raise, if you want to ask me. But also, it's not just the liberals on these college campuses that are just making your head spin a little bit at this point, Dan. It's also happening in the mainstream media, which we already knew, but we got a really extreme example of how just twisted and delusional people are this week, because Drew Barrymore had Kamala Harris on her talk show. And this soundbite, the gem that we got from their time together, I don't think any of us will ever forget. Let's take a listen.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Okay, first of all, I'm like upset about this. I mean, I don't watch Drew Barrymore's show, but I really like Drew Barrymore. Like, I grew up watching Drew Barrymore in so many different movies. Never Been Kissed, a cult classic favorite of mine. But this was just so cringe. And even, I mean, I've got to be honest. I know that Kamala is like a weird woman. She's cringe also on many different occasions. She felt like she seemed a little uncomfortable in that moment. Like, she didn't do her weird, like, high-pitched laugh. Like, she just was like, I don't know. She seemed like almost taken aback, but I know she's heard the Mamala phrase before. But what did you think when you heard that, Dan?
I think that's assery, jackassery. And then the people clapping, yes, Kamala, give us all a hug with your giggly. I don't know. I don't know if you're drugged up. And then she also said that people like me and probably you that make fun of her laugh are sexist. It's due to sexism. No, it's not. It's due to you being an idiot. She has made herself into an absolute buffoon. And Drew Barrymore, I'm with you. Hey, look, who doesn't like a Drew Barrymore movie? I do. I'm all in on it. I'm cool. Alicia Silverstone and the rest of them. I'm good with it. Yeah, of course. I raised daughter. I know these movies, and I liked her, but I don't like this. Yes, Kamala, give us all a big hug. We'll all feel better. And yes, we need you to be the mama of this country. She's a stone idiot. And maybe is stone half the time. I mean, just stop it. I look, and it was so sincere, and it was so loving, and it was so, oh my gosh, tender. Oh, shut up. Both of you, just shut up. If you ever want to know how stupid Hollywood is, that's probably, well, that'll go on the reel of the stupidity of Hollywood. Unfortunate, Drew Barrymore, and even less fortunate for us that Kamala Harris is our vice president. Jeez, that thing gives me gas.
Yeah. If Kamala's performance in the last 4 years and her lack of inaction, because it's funny, no one can even name any of her accomplishments. Like, you know, like you always see Johnny on Jesse Waters going out and saying, what has Kamala Harris done for this country? And everyone, literally, I don't think I've ever seen one person be able to name one of her accomplishments, which is just comedy to me, but it's true. We don't know what she's done. She just makes a mockery of herself all the time. And if that's, I guess, what Drew Barrymore wants to be, a mother figure, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I feel like my own mother, Dan. I feel like my own mother with no political experience and being the biggest pushover in the world. Like, and I mean that in the sweetest way. She's like, you know, the traditional Italian mother. She would make a much better vice president than Kamala Harris.
You see this? What do I got here? You see this spray bottle that cleans my apparatuses here? That would make a better vice president than Kamala Harris. We call it the bag of sand theory on my show. Would a bag of sand be a better coach than this guy coaching Indiana University or this guy coaching the Chicago Bulls? I mean, who? You know, so a bag of sand would be a better vice president, but it's so ridiculous. And then people in the audience are clapping like, oh my God, this woman is so awesome. Oh, shut up. She's done nothing. She's actually shirked her duty. She's supposed to be the in charge of the border. She hasn't been there. She hasn't done her job. People that are down at the border, we've had them on our show, say it's absolutely crazy. Yeah, she's ridiculous. Look, good for Drew Barrymore. Good for Hollywood. Keep your thing, but I don't need a hug from Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I would actually appreciate anything more than a hug from Kamala Harris. Dan, before I let you go, anything we can look forward to on Don't At Me today, or if you want to tease something for later in the week, feel free. The floor is yours.
Well, I don't know what I have, but I know I have this week. We're going to talk a little bit. There are places that are saying to Joe Biden, screw you with your Title IX adjustments. And one of those places is Texas. Mm-hmm. And we've got a congressman from Texas who I love. I love talking to, Pat Fallon. He's coming on, and he's a former Notre Dame football player, and he's freaking awesome. But I will tell you this, the Kentucky Derby is coming up this weekend, and my man Vince, who is the greatest sports handicapper in the history of sports that nobody knows, he handicaps the Derby like no one else. I've won as much as $8,300, $1,400, $3,000 off of his picks. He's coming on Friday, and I'm going to get your email, Charlie, and I'm going to send you his picks, and then we're all going to get fat after the Derby because we're going to win big bucks, lady. Big, big, big bucks.
I mean, sign me up. I will never turn down the opportunity to make money. That is something I am fully on board for. So, yes, make sure you get my email because I'm going to need to get in on this Kentucky Derby action. By the way, I went to the Derby once. I was there like maybe 2012 I went or something. I'm not exactly sure. I can't recall. But it was a great time. Great time.
No, I had You were 15 years old. What are you talking about?
I wasn't 15 years old, unfortunately. But yeah, I had the look down. I had the mint julep in hand. I actually smoked a cigar at the Derby. So, I mean, I'm just saying I'm the real deal.
Did you get the big hat? Did you have the big hat? Did you go with the hat and the dress?
Of course I did. Of course I got the big hat. And I'm gonna let everyone in on a little secret. The hat was very expensive. It was a very expensive hat. And I didn't want to spend the money on the hat forever. So I bought the hat, I wore it to the Derby, and then I returned it. But don't tell anybody.
Oh, geez. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. I don't know that I would be able to get by with that now. But, yep, so that money's still in my pocket. Hopefully, with your help, Dan, I'll have much more in my pocket. So thank you once again, my friend, and we'll see you soon.
All right, thanks, Charlie.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
What's up, everyone? It's Nick Wright, and I got something exciting to talk to you about today. Angie, your ultimate destination for getting all your jobs done well. Now, Angie isn't just your average home services marketplace. It's a game changer with over 150 million homeowners served and a network of over 200,000 skilled pros. Angie has experience and expertise to tackle any project with ease. Whether you're looking to spruce up your backyard or undergo a major home renovation, Angie's got your back. And their pros are locally based, often running small businesses right in your community. And here's the best part. Angie makes the process seamless, from researching and comparing pros to scheduling services at your convenience. Angie's user-friendly platform puts you in control, So why settle for anything less than perfection when it comes to your home? With Angie, you can trust every project will be completed with the utmost care and professionalism. So get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today to discover why homeowners across the nation are turning to Angie to get all their jobs done well.
All right, everybody, that is going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you to Dan Dockich, as always, for coming on each and every Wednesday. It is truly the highlight of my week. So in the meantime, before the next episode drops tomorrow, make sure you are following me on social media at Charlie on TV. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday, and I will see you tomorrow.